Members, we're going to move to the economy debate, which has been provided by our Assembly team, that this conference calls on the Northern Ireland Assembly to select the sectors that will best ensure the rebalancing of the Northern Ireland economy and skill up the workforce accordingly. The motion will be proposed by Mike Nesbitt, MLA, seconded by Sandra Overend, and I do have a number of speakers already indicating their desire to speak. So Mike Nesbitt to propose the motion.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. It is an honour for me to propose this motion. Conference. The Northern Ireland economy once enjoyed great times. Queen's Island was the Silicon Valley of its day. William Perry was the Bill Gates, the Steve Jobs of his generation, and we profited by picking our sectors: shipbuilding, linen, the greatest rope works on the planet, and agriculture, of course. We picked our sectors and we skilled up. Now, of course, nobody imagines we'll ever see 35,000 welders going back in to Queen's Island again, but the principle remains the same. Pick your sectors and skill up your workforce. Agriculture is still our greatest industry, but with a new twist within the United Kingdom, Northern Ireland is the leading region for food entrepreneurs. Martin Hamilton, Dennis Lynn, Will Taylor, to name but three from in and around my own constituency. People who are now taking a lead in the UK in agriculture. So agriculture is number one. For two other sectors, let's look back at Queen's Island. The Paint Hall is now a centre for the creative industries. It's a TV and a film studio. It's a modern twist on manufacturing. They make things and then they sell them across the world. And the Harbour Commissioners are investing £50 million in a new logistics centre for Dong Energies, who are leading the drive for renewables in the Irish Sea. Now, you can be as cynical or as sceptical as you wish to be about green energy, but I promise you this: some region of the United Kingdom will do very well out of renewables. Some region of the United Kingdom will get thousands of jobs, and around one part of the coastline of the United Kingdom, fishing villages, which have been struggling for years, will be renewed and regenerated as they become part of the logistical supply chain for renewable energies. Why not Northern Ireland? There are three for you. Let's add ICT, financial services, and tourism. That's six. Six is plenty if they not only drive our economy, but if they drive our government. Our devolved government says Northern Ireland is open for business. Our devolved government says the economy is at the heart of everything we do. But is it? Let's take just one example. Belfast City Airport want to extend their runway. Park for a moment whether you think that's a good or a bad idea. Put yourself in the shoes of the man who owns the airport and the people who run it. They want to make long-term strategic plans for their airport. And they don't know what length their runway is going to be. They have been lobbying the devolved government. They've been going to the minister. But since they started, how many ministers have they gone through? Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. They are lobbying their sixth minister and still no decision. And yet, we're told Northern Ireland is open for business. It is time for the devolved government to make big decisions. And that's what this party is good at. We have led the charge for the devolution of corporation tax. We are the party who said, here's what you should do about air passenger duty. As the Department of Finance and Personnel were telling the Treasury, something needs to be done. We said, apply Band A as a flat rate across all flights leaving Northern Ireland. Charge £12 and £24. And what did the Treasury announce the other day? A flat rate Band A applicable to all flights out of Northern Ireland. We gave the lead. And by the way, I noticed at the Labour Party conference the other week, they have adopted our policy of calling for a concessionary 5% VAT rate on the repair, maintenance and improvement of existing dwellings. It's something they've been doing in the Isle of Man for years. It gives a boost to the construction industry. So are we open for business? I question it. And if we are to be open for business, what do? We pick our skills, we pick our sectors, and we skill up accordingly. But the Assembly also has to weigh in behind and make those difficult decisions that represent common sense government. And it's all interrelated. The economy and education, health and housing, regional and social development. And that's why we wanted a programme for government agreed before they ran the hunt, before ministers ran off into their silos in their own departments, running them for their own party political selfish interest. Last April, the Department of Enterprise announced a short-term employment scheme, £19 million, ring-fenced to create employment. 6 months later, not one job is on the ground. There's been one announcement about jobs and another announcement that they're not calling it the short-term employment scheme anymore. They're calling it the Jobs Fund. Why? Because they're so embarrassed that after 6 months with £19 million, they haven't created a single job. If I gave you £19 million and you didn't have jobs on the ground in 6 weeks, never mind 6 months, you wouldn't sleep at night. Your conscience would not let you. So are we open for business? Not until we pick our sectors and we skill up accordingly. We are obsessed with the process of government, with the inputs. But in a business model, you only have inputs so that you have outputs and outcomes. And what we're not good at as a government is saying, this is what success looks like, this is where we are, and here's the process that will get us from here up to there. And that process, for me, has to be to pick our sectors and to skill up our workforce accordingly. Take tourism. The two targets for the tourist board are more tourists staying overnight and a bigger average daily spend. Who does that? Golfers. And what we have? Three champions in Little Northern Ireland. If I was Arlene Foster, a year ago I would have been off to California, the richest state in the world. Arnold Schwarzenegger is governor, a man who knows us here in Northern Ireland. And I would have said to him, Arnie, Tiger Woods, is that the best you've got? Chairman, I'll finish with a vision, because people often say, oh, you unionists, you don't have a vision, you don't have a strategy, you don't have a policy. I'll give you a vision for our economy. Northern Ireland is rapidly coming to the end of its first 100 years. So as we look to our second century, here's an economic vision. We become net contributors to Her Majesty's Treasury. We grow our private sector so it is so big, so powerful, and so profitable, we no longer need the block grant. It's a big ask, it's aspirational, but why not go for it, conference? Why not go for that, to be net contributors? If you want to secure the union, that's a good way to start. Let's grow our economy to the point where our GDP and our GVA are above the UK average. I propose this motion to your conference. I ask you to support it, and I ask you to support my colleagues who will be speaking after me, people I am very proud to serve with in the Assembly. I will finish with a reference to Seamus Heaney, who once talked about hope and history rhyming. I believe if we're to rebalance the economy, this is the party to do it, and my colleagues are the people to do it. And if I may paraphrase Heaney, this is a moment, I believe, where for this party, duty and destiny rhyme. Thank you very much, Chairman.
The conference before I call for the motion to be seconded, it's timely that a guest has appeared, and I would ask you to give a very warm welcome to Her Majesty's Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, the Right Honourable Owen Paterson, MP. The motion will be seconded by Sandra Overend, MLA.
Thank you very much. I welcome the opportunity to speak to conference today, my first time here as an elected representative, and I approach this debate as a member of the Employment and Learning Committee at the Northern Ireland Assembly. Employment and learning is certainly an area which is fundamental in the rebalancing of the Northern Ireland economy. It is well documented that our economy has an over-reliance on the public sector, and it is this particular department which can provide the right environment to create the skills and apprenticeships that will lead to growth in the private sector. The Ulster Unionist Party has a strong record in the Department of Employment and Learning, as we held that ministry throughout the last Assembly mandate. During that time, both Lord Empey and Danny Kennedy delivered a number of successful outcomes for the economy, including plans for a strategy on young people who are not in education, employment or training, known as NEETs. The Connected programme, which enabled companies to gain access to world-class expertise, technology and research from Northern Ireland's universities and colleges, as well as the ICT Future Skills Action Plan, which contributed to the creation of 400 jobs in Northern Ireland by the New York Stock Exchange. These were notable successes, and the challenge now, especially in the current economic downturn, is to seek to find additional innovative ways in which we can skill up the workforce. In order to do this, we must improve cooperation and communication between educational institutions on the type of skills which industry needs. This means that our universities and colleges need to work closely with the various sectors of employment right across Northern Ireland, including the construction, retail and creative industries, in order to be able to provide the best possible careers advice to our young people. Not only those in universities and colleges, but this needs to filter down through to careers advice in all our secondary level schools. It is also essential that we continue to fund adult apprenticeships adequately. The current Employment and Learning Minister has announced that these apprenticeships are being given half as much money as previously assigned to them. I understand that budgets are tight, but we must find creative solutions to ensure that this important aspect of job creation is prioritised. Finally, we must find ways to continue to back funding for hard-to-reach groups. Those people encountering problems such as poverty, educational underachievement and social isolation need to be given all the support that we can give in order to get them back into work. We also need to help the most vulnerable in society, and especially those with disabilities. Ladies and gentlemen, the Department of Employment and Learning can provide key linkage between industry and education. This is crucial in the current economic climate, and I intend to play my part in improving how this is carried out within the Northern Ireland Assembly. I commend the motion to conference today.
I call on Robin Swan to speak, and then Philip Smith.
Thank you very much, Chair. Later. I've been asked to be short. I'll do my best. Leader, Chairman, I think it's actually apt that the Secretary of State has joined us, the Ulster Unionist Party, at this stage, where we're proposing our vision for the future of the economy of Northern Ireland. And I hope, Secretary of State, that you realise how real we as a party are about driving the economy of Northern Ireland forward. And we have the ability to do that, and I hope you take that on board and take it back to the Prime Minister. There's an old saying that necessity is the mother of invention. Well, that's true. but its father's creativity and knowledge as the midwife. And as the Culture, Arts and Leisure spokesman for the Ulster Unionist Party, I've been asked to come forward and realise and show how the creative industries can actually contribute to the Northern Ireland society. Under recent DECAL ministers, the creative industries have not achieved their full potential. And that was a department that was initiated, was instigated and was driven by an Ulster Unionist minister from the very start. And we missed out on the potential that that ministry had to deliver. Unfortunately, there's nothing creative about our current DECAL minister, unless it's in Irish. But ladies and gentlemen, we should not underestimate the potential of the creative industries and their potential. But we're already playing catch-up, and we're starting to get there. Mike, when he proposed the motion earlier on, referred to the paint hall. And I'll give you an example. Screen Northern Ireland, when they presented the Game of Thrones. Now, for any of you that watch HBO and all the rest of it, we're now into our second series. Filmed in Northern Ireland, in my own constituency in North Antrim, and I have to mention North Antrim to get a press release out of this speech, is screened worldwide. Now, screened worldwide on Sky TV. So it portrays Northern Ireland creativity, Northern Ireland scenery, Northern Ireland tourism. And we have the ability to grasp that potential. But we're not making the full use of it yet, but we have to adapt that. The Game of Thrones, for one example, for one TV series, brought in £20 million worth of revenue to Northern Ireland. It created 550 jobs. How many people in here knew about it? We watch it on TV, but we haven't portrayed it as being Northern Irish. And that's where the potential is. We have to sell everything that we have to make sure we can encapsulate everything we have in the creative industries for the good of our economy. The GVA for the creative industries was £737 million in 2008. That was the equivalent of 4.2% of Northern Ireland's total GVA. And that was only from a starting position. So you have to realise the potential that we have to encapsulate and to grow. People in creative industries in 2009 employed 31,000. And we don't know who they are. And we're not using them to the best of their ability. And we should be. And we have the potential to. That represented 4.1% of the total employment in Northern Ireland. The number of business units in creative industry sector in 2010 was 2,200, and that represented 3.2% of all the business units in Northern Ireland. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the facts, that's the statistics, and that's not a word I can say easy. But we have the potential to develop that and grow it even further. For job and wealth creation, the creative industries has the ability to rebuild and help to rebalance our economy. It has the ability to create jobs and wealth and to deliver innovation and research and design for the resurgent private sector, which Northern Ireland so desperately needs. But we often hear through many funding avenues and through many streams, match funding is always the catch that gets us all. Should it be through rural development, should it be through any support mechanism coming from Europe or GB. The creative industries, a recent report actually suggests that start-up companies in the creative industries are no more likely to fail the economy as a whole and are statistically more successful than hotels and restaurants. The study, which was actually entitled Risky Business, and that's not something the Ulster Unionists do well, that programme was commissioned by a think tank called Demos, and they claim that creative industries might even be less risky as a result of the passion, dedication and skills of the individuals who are involved. Thank you very much, Chair. What we need to do as a party and as an assembly group, we need, as an Ulster Unionist party, We need to make sure the appropriate mechanisms are there to support the available, what's available, and to maximise the economy, the benefits of the creative industries in Northern Ireland, and to ensure they're fit for purpose. We have to make sure that the tax breaks are there for TV series, children's series and dramas, the same tax breaks that films can enjoy, that has encapsulated and attracted series like the Game of Thrones to Northern Ireland. The challenge is to invest Northern Ireland to do more with the resources, and they have in their terms of this sector already. But the biggest challenge we have as Ulster Unionists to really engage with the creative industries. If a pop star wants to film in your field, Ulster Unionists, please let her do it.